We want to turn this morning in our Bibles to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 5. We want to read a portion from chapter 5 and a portion from chapter 13. We want to deal this morning with the teaching ministry of our Lord, or for a title, Christ the Master Teacher. The fifth chapter of Matthew, verse 1. And this portion is what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And especially we want to look at verse 8 that we read. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now from Matthew chapter 13, and we begin our reading here at verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, or their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Father, now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, having opened thy precious word and having read from the sacred page, we ask you now to open our hearts. May we not be like the Apostle James spoke, as a man who sees himself in the mirror of thy word and forgets what manner of person he was. But may we indeed be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So therefore, our Father, we commit ourselves to thee for the ministry of the Word of God. May the thoughts of our mind and the meditation of our heart indeed be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For the Lord Jesus' sake, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is recognized by scholars, ancient and modern, as the greatest teacher of all time. Even the enemies of Christ, when they sent soldiers to take him and to bring him bound unto them, we read they returned without him, and they said, Never man spake like this man. Therefore, it should cause us not only to examine what our Lord said, for that is always important, but how he said it, and why he said it. Now you will notice from the two passages from Matthew's Gospel that we read this morning, we consider two ways in which our Lord taught. He taught plainly or directly, and then second, he taught by parable. We have, first of all, the direct teaching of our Lord. Our Lord began his public ministry by teaching directly to the people, and to the disciples, to the multitudes who followed him. Now, there is nothing more direct than Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Let us see, what does that verse really say? Our Lord is speaking directly, and he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, if I'm awake when I read this text, if I really listen to what it says, I have to say something to myself over this text. And I must say, how am I ever going to be pure in heart? I have to say that. I cannot say anything else. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, if I'm ever going to be pure, down in the deep recesses of my heart, outward conformity with each other, an outward conformity to a system of religion is one thing, but to be pure in heart is something else. And if I'm ever going to be pure down in the innermost recesses of my spirit and my soul, then God has to do something mighty in me. Anything short of that will never do it. And the Word of God teaches us in that what he does in us that is mighty is regeneration, the new birth. And apart from the new birth, no one is ever pure in heart. And friends, this is exactly what Christ came to do. And the whole of the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, it declares unto us the requirements of a holy God and man's inability by his own activity to fulfill it. There isn't any man who can make himself pure in the sight of a holy God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And by the way, this was taught in the law of God in the Old Testament. In the last commandment that God gave, he gave 9 commandments, and then he added another. And the 10th commandment deals with the inner nature of sin. It deals with the inner nature of man. It says, "Thou shalt not covet." Nobody can see when you covet. Nobody can see when you desire that which belongs to someone else. Thou shalt not covet. And all the other commandments that are broken are second in being broken to this one. For before a man steals, he first of all has to covet. Before a man commits adultery, he first of all covets that which belongs to someone else. So you see, coveting deals with a spiritual nature of the inner man, the heart of man, that God says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And apart from the divine nature, apart from regenerating grace, whereby God implants a new nature and a new heart in the child of God, Ezekiel 36, God says, "I will give you a new heart." This is something that we need. For blessed are the pure, where? Not in their own eyes, not in the eyes of a neighbor, but blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And friends, the direct teaching of our Lord, he simply says, if you want to see God, you have to be pure in the inner recesses of your very heart. Apart from this, you will never see God. To be pure in heart is to be without censure in the sight of God. And that's great. Now, if any person is awake And if you're awake this morning and you're listening, you realize what our Lord says. And you realize that you cannot do it. Therefore, apart from the supernatural grace of God, it's impossible for you to be pure in heart. It takes the sheer supernatural grace of God for you to be pure in heart. My works are not good enough. We may satisfy each other, and we may be able to satisfy certain lodges with good works, and we may brag about them. But they will never stand up before a holy God. I cannot measure myself by my neighbor. You see, the measuring line is God himself and our Lord Jesus Christ. For he said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." You see, beloved, when I read this, this is why the gospel of the grace of God is so sweet to the child of God. At Calvary, God dealt with my sin. He dealt with all my sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And my sins have been forgiven. He has blotted out all trespasses, as I read in Colossians 2:14. He took these things that were against us, he took them out of the way, nailing them to his cross. And because of the work of Calvary, I am forgiven. But then, there is something else. There is the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to me when I believe, that gives me a positive, righteous standing in the sight of God. God declares the believing sinner to be righteous when he forgives his sin. So we have not only the forgiveness of sins, but we have that positive justification in the sight of God. And God says to us, "I see you in my Son. I see you as pure in heart." That's what the gospel does. And my friend, that gospel which declares the believing sinner to be pure in heart then delivers the sinner from his sins in practical everyday living. "For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Are you awake? Have you listened to that verse? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So our Lord not only taught plainly. Now you can't get any plainer than that. And you must ask yourself the question this morning, am I pure in the sight of God? My neighbors can find lots of problems with me, but God doesn't. Because in the person of Christ, he dealt with my sin. Oh, let me ask you, has he dealt with yours? Have you been to the cross? Have you trusted Christ? And the only way to live a godly life is, first of all, to come to the cross and have the heart cleansed by the blood of Christ. You've got to have a new heart. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." But now, our Lord not only taught plainly and directly, but he taught in parables. And there are at least 7 parables in Matthew 13. Now, these parables were uttered by our Lord under painful circumstances. If you study the Gospel of Matthew, in spite of all the words of Christ, which he spoke plainly, and in spite of all the works of Christ, which he did, works of mercy and works of grace, in chapter 12 of Matthew, the Jewish leaders, after so much ministry by our Lord, they say that he does and says what he did by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So our Lord begins speaking in parables. Now the disciples of the Lord question why in verse 10. Why do you speak unto them in parables? You see. And then our Lord answered the question. You see, parables can only be understood by a minority. And the minority have to belong to those who are pure in heart. That's what he's really saying. To the mass of people, they will not understand the parable. But the Lord's people will. I'm speaking for you in parables. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. You see, the parables that our Lord utters, and there are multitudes of them in the New Testament, the parables that he uttered were like the cloud in the days of Moses. When Israel came out of Egypt, the Shekinah glory cloud led them. And now the teaching of our Lord is like the cloud of Moses. It was darkness to the Egyptians, but it was light to the people of God. And the parables of our Lord are light to God's people, but they are darkness to the ungodly. Now this is serious business. In the first parable of the sower, and I'm just going to mention it very briefly. In the first parable of the sower, the Lord himself is seen as the one who sows the seed of his word. Our Lord had been among the nation of Israel. He had been sowing the seed. But you notice that in the parable of the soil or the sower, most of the seed was wasted. Only 1/4 of it fell on good ground. It only fell on good soil. 1/4 of the seed. For 3/4 of it fell on unprofitable soil. Men hear, but they do not profit from what they hear. So I come back to Matthew 5 verse 8. In all seriousness, did you hear what the Lord said in Matthew 5 verse 8? Did you really hear it? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God calls for inward purity. Wash me thoroughly, is what the psalmist said in Psalm 51. Do I really hear this? Are you pure in the inner recesses of the heart? Another question that we could ask is that, does the Word of God make sense to you? Here's one of the ways I can know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, The natural man is a man who has never received a new heart from God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You can only discern the things of the Spirit if you have the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God, the result of a new heart. And it takes a new heart to understand the parables of our Lord. Our Lord talked plainly. They disregarded that. You cannot get any plainer than Matthew 5 verse 8. That was disregarded. So he now speaks to them in parables. Now the question could be asked, what is the purpose of the parables? They were judgment upon those who had rejected the plain, simple teaching of the Word of God. I often hear the text, oh, that was too deep for me. I often hear people say, oh, that it was just too deep. I couldn't take that in. I often wonder about that statement. I often wonder, Do you have a heart to take it in? Do you have a new heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For the very word that was spoken in the parable became a word of judgment to those who received it not. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You mean that our Lord does not give to everybody? That's exactly what it said. I didn't write it. It's a statement of our Lord. The Word of God says, if a light that is in me becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? When our Lord came, He came as a light. I am the light of the world. But that light was rejected. And where the light is rejected, what did you, really hear what that verse said in Matthew 5? Blessed are the pure in heart. You see, God calls for purity in the inward part. The psalmist in Psalm 51 cried out, thou desirest truth in the inward part. Romans chapter 2 verse 2 says that the judgment of God is according to truth. It is truth in the inward part. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The parables are light and instruction to those who believe and who obey the gospel. Now this is why the gospel is so important. The gospel is the only method known to men, known among men, whereby the new heart can be received. You can't get it any other way. So Paul, when he went to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2, we read, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. The only way you can receive a new heart is by coming to the person of Christ, who alone has settled before a holy God all the demands of divine holiness and justice on behalf of sinful men. And friends, only Christ can deal with sin. If you ever have to deal with it, you will be lost forever. And since you're a sinner by nature, and since your heart is sinful by nature, you need a new one. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they're the only ones who can understand the teaching of Christ. Now this was very plain and very simple. I ask you, in all seriousness, do you understand the word? Do you enjoy it? Does it make sense to you? It may be the determining factor as to whether you will die in your sin or whether you belong to Christ. And you must determine this before God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Very quickly, one question. Where do you stand? Where do you really stand? You alone know. No one else does, but you do. Now, do you have doubts? Are you wondering this morning, am I really saved or am I not? If you have doubts or you're not saved, why not close in with Christ this morning? Why not say, Lord Jesus, I don't have a pure heart. I don't have it. But I need it. I desperately need it. And you're the only one who can give it to me. And the nice part about it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved. My friend, have you ever called genuinely wanting what you desperately need and what you don't have to the only one who can give it to you, our Lord Jesus? Have you? Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before you. We ask you that as we examine the teaching of our Lord, what a teacher he was. He was very plain, but then he could be obscure. The world can't grasp, but thy people who are genuinely thine can. We thank you for making us yours, and we thank you for everyone that you've made yours. And if there are any in this meeting this morning who are not yours, we ask you, gracious God, to bring them to yourself today in sweet and blessed regenerating grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing together the first and last of hymn number 354. Come every soul, thy sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Let's stand together and sing, shall we? The first and last, 354.